much about.
Right now, I'd like to talk about a serious problem, April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day is to comedy as St. Patrick's Day is to Irish culture.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
A favorite day for pranksters is the time of year when you're never really sure what's the truth.
Be careful on the April Fool's jokes.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Management asked me to stop by with a reminder. Today is April Fool's Day. Have as much fun as you want, but just remember this rule from corporate. Under no circumstances are you allowed to say anything that isn't true. Other than that, go for it. Now get out there and unlock some value for the CBS shareholders. That's what good radio is all about. Ha ha ha.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Mike, it's so annoying.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I didn't start it.
Roll another one.
Penis.
Just like the other one.
That's a mouth idea, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Smell it.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Anyway, forget it, fool.
Roll.
Roll
another one.
I'm sure I got a badge for banging.
Just like.
I would totally watch that.
I don't have another cent.
My friends, America needs to repent.
I'm so angry even though I don't have any of the information.
Just pass it around.
Now.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you.
Someone.
It fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show.
Whoa, puppy, whoa. Monkey, baby.
What? Well, back whoa. From vacation. That was a good long vacation, wasn't it, guys?
Well deserved.
It really felt like forever.
Did it?
Okay. Yeah, it really did.
You weren't stuck
What's
here with
happening
Bean.
Here? How dare you,
I'm
by
sorry.
The way, first of all.
How dare I what?
Allie with her.
Oh, I wasn't stuck here with Bean?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I've heard of some people getting Fridays off. I've never heard of people getting Fridays only.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that we would come back from vacation on a Friday. That doesn't make sense to me
Kevin,
either, because why not just tack it on?
Here. We've been working this whole time.
Yeah,
you've been
here,
off.
We've been here every day. Is the thing.
Oh, you guys are acting like you were on the air?
Yes, we were
this
here.
This week?
This whole week.
So you would say, hey, it's Wednesday, everybody.
Yeah, because it was on? Wednesday.
And then you'd do best of?
No.
No.
No, we were here.
Doing
working.
Shows.
We're getting back from vacation today.
What?
I don't understand.
What?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Well,
he's not dead, ladies and gentlemen.
Although I am happy to report that Bean did put that out there many times.
Oh,
well, yeah.
It was fallback. It was suggested.
I wasn't the only one, by the way. When we got into the third and fourth months, I was not the only one who suggested that maybe you were, in fact, dead.
But I thought kidnapped at first.
Kidnapped,
yes.
Okay.
Being held for ransom because your posts were all correct. Dramatically, the links were perfect. So I thought someone's obviously tweeting for you.
Yeah, we thought someone was running your social media because everything was looking pretty tight.
Yeah.
That should happen then.
Yeah.
We should get that guy.
Yeah.
And then we talked about kidnap questions and how we would know if it was really you if they did ask for a ransom. But then we all decided that was a waste of time because we wouldn't pay the ransom anyway.
Right. So, and then Ralph brought up, well, no one misses this much work. He must be dead.
Right.
So,
Ralph was the one who really stoked the fire. I was really willing to give you the benefit of the doubt that you were still alive. But then we had a lot of theories going on, I'll tell you. And none of them involved you coming in today on a Friday,
nope.
I'll tell you that.
Not a one.
I thought you'd still be in Vegas or Lisbon or someplace.
I should be in Lisbon.
That's Kevin's favorite city in Brazil. Come on, you guys know that.
Lisbon's in Portugal.
Yes, it's a long story. All right, let me do this before we do that, because
if I'd have known, I wouldn't have come back from Lisbon. This is ridiculous for one day.
I read a fascinating article in our friend Matt Bellany runs the Hollywood Reporter over there, and they did an interview with, and I think you guys are going to love this. They did an interview with the guy who's in charge of the team that has to blur the TV show Naked and Afraid.
Oh, the pixelators.
Yes. Naked and Afraid is a show, if you're unfamiliar with it, that is, well, the title tells you. It's on the Discovery Channel, and they drop a bunch of people on an island or something like that, and they have to survive. It's like Survivor, except everybody on the show is naked. So they did an interview with the guy whose job it is to make it TV ready. Because, by the way, I had no interest in Naked and Afraid when I found out it was going to be blurred. Now it's just another boring show that's not as good as Survivor. Put it on a channel where it's not blurred. Now you got yourself a show. Who's with me?
Sure. Yeah, I don't get it. Okay. I don't get it either. If you're going to blur everything,
what's the point? It doesn't mean anything that they're naked, right? All right. He sees naked bits all day long. He says, let's say somebody is building a fish basket, working with their hands in front of their boobs or in front of their junk. There's a frame-by-frame process of cutting out arms and other things from the footage, putting the blur across the original plate, and layering the rest back in. So, in other words, you follow that, Kevin. You're a Photoshop.
Sure.
In other words, they blur the whole thing, but then they're able to put whatever was in front of the junk or the boobs back in, so it looks better.
Right.
Our job is to make it seamless for the viewers so that they're less aware of the blurs. It can be extremely tedious work. So we've seen people come and go from here. They just don't have it in them. So it sounds like there's quite a lot of turnover there in the edit bay. We also think that fake boobs are easier to pixelate than real boobs because they don't move around as much. Mm-hmm. One of our guys, Sean, said he never really appreciated fake breasts until he started this job. Realistically, though, the crotch is the easiest thing for us to pixelate. There's only one, and the arms rarely get in the way. Speak for yourself, by the way. We just recently did an episode that was predominantly male. That's a little bit easier, but we have had guys ask for a bigger blur. We won't necessarily accommodate that.
Hey, can you fake it for me?
We won't necessarily accommodate that. We strive to make them as plain as a Barbie doll. There are also I thought this was a fascinating paragraph. There are also instances where we have to blur more than the actual body parts, like danglers. You guys have any idea what a dangler is?
Oh, dear.
It's not what you're thinking.
Oh, good.
Oh.
That's when you see a shadow that makes your mind think you're looking at a penis. So it's a dangler. So it's not a penis, but people will think it is, so they blur that out too. We also have several scenarios. Now, this is also fascinating. We also have several scenarios with the butt blur. Currently, the general stipulation is to show the butt unless someone has a wide gait.
Really?
I guess that would be because what you might see underneath, maybe?
All butts are good.
I've heard you say that many times before. We have a lot of in-house terms. There's the weenie waggler. That's the stuff that's moving around. There's the nip slip, of course. And side boob is popular. Our mandate is to cover the side boob as much as possible.
That,
by the way,
well,
they're
communism.
Doing the wrong thing there.
That
right?
is ridiculous.
Ugh.
We've also got the boob shadow. You got to be aware of their shadows as well. And if they're in the water, we call them floaters. There's also spillage. Mm-hmm. We say peen, naughty bits, the chinchilla. I'd explain that one, but you probably don't want to know. Final paragraph. The nudity itself isn't gross, but we first see these people fresh out of their hotels. And as the days go by, it gets to 21 or so. For those that last, they become more and more deteriorated. And you start seeing things. Things like ticks in places where they shouldn't be.
Oh, no.
That can be a little gross. Yes, it's a glamorous job. So there you go. That is the chief pixelator, Aaron Gavin, of the TV show Naked and Afraid on the Discovery Channel. So that's a little insight into somebody's job that maybe you don't ordinarily think about, but there's a guy who's got to do it.
Well, you had me at fish basket right at the beginning. I was in.
That wasn't a euphemism, you know. They're literally talking about building a fish basket.
Oh.
Oh.
It's less interesting. Then.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Don't be stupid. Back to you.
On today's show, we're going to do Celebrity Refrigerator. I believe.
we don't do that anymore,
nope.
Kevin.
We're going to go to a celebrity's house and then we get a refrigerator. What's in here? What's going on in here? Why do you have too much yogurt?
We actually, you've been gone a while, but we actually don't do that feature anymore. I'm sorry to say.
We're going to do Honk for Meat, though. That's
nope. Nope, we don't do Honk for Meat anymore.
Honk for Meat, where you give away tickets for somebody that sits at a red light.
I know
and
how
then it
works.
Turns green, and then the car just sits there, and every time there's a honk, boom,
we're not allowed
meat.
To do that anymore. They
meat.
Pulled that one.
Sounds good.
No.
We're not doing that either?
No bathroom interviews.
Thank God.
No Michael the Maintenance Man with the weather. It's a whole new turnover of features since the last time you were on the show.
Wow, we've been on vacation a long time.
You
want me to handle this?
Sure, yeah.
I'll handle this. All right. RJ Bell is going to be joining us from pregame.com in Las Vegas. He's got the Final Four gambling odds for us. He also, by the way, and I didn't realize, I guess I should have realized they would do this in Las Vegas. He also has the latest up-to-the-minute odds on who will be the next president. You can bet in Las Vegas on which candidate will capture the White House.
No kidding.
RJ's got those odds for us on the program today. Also, we have from CNET, Scott Stein is going to be joining us. Apparently, we've been hearing about this virtual reality for a long time, this Oculus Rift, where now it's like you can do anything and go anywhere and be anyone.
If I can have it today, let's talk about that.
Apparently, it's getting close.
Please.
Apparently,
it's been getting close for 10 years.
Yeah. Apparently, it's affordable, and you can order it now, and it's coming soon, and it's going to blow your mind.
This is the jetpack is what this is, Bean.
None of us will ever leave our houses again, so we'll get the details on that. Allie, you brought to our attention that there is an infamous murder house in Southern California that is on the market for people to buy and live in now.
Yeah.
Been a long time since we've done that topic of people who live in houses where bad things happen. There are some people who in a million years, they feel like there are ghosts or there's evil spirits. They would never have anything to do with a house like that. Other people go, look, it's not the house's fault. It's just walls. But we'll take your calls on that topic today. We have our final pair of tickets for the That's My John section of Kevin Means April Foolishness, which is tomorrow night at the Shrine. Give you a chance to win those tickets. And at 7:35, we will announce the opening act winner based on your votes at kevinandbean.com. Which comedian will open April Foolishness? That's coming up. And coming up in just a few minutes, we'll tell you about a guy who spent $1 billion on his daughter's wedding.
On one wedding?
Yeah.
Yes.
A billion?
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. On her first wedding, she's having another one soon also.
Same guy.
She had one in Russia, and they're gonna get married for different friends in England as well. So I don't know how much that wedding's going to cost, but the first one cost $1 billion.
He really loves her.
Really
that
does.
Is true. He loves her more than any of us love our spouses, I'll tell you that. That's coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Have a compliment for you, Ralph Garman, to get us started today.
Great.
This is Seabass writing in.
Seabass, my favorite.
I am very, very impressed with Ralph's Kevin impersonation. The only problem is, as I see it, he speaks too clearly, but tell him to keep practicing. Look, we all know Kevin would never come to work on a Friday, especially after being off all week. Good try on April Fool's Day. Got to go off to the mall to see Blink-182. Have a nice day. So apparently we couldn't fool him with your Kevin impersonation.
I tried. Thanks so much. It's just a tribute to a late, great friend, and we're going to miss him. That's all I'm saying.
We haven't told Kevin what the plans we had were for his memorial service.
You're going to love this so much.
I'll bet I am going to love this so much.
No, you really are. You're really going to love it.
I bet I am going to love this so much. See, I almost have it.
Almost. So close.
So close.
We had a listener call in, Kevin, on what's good. I don't know. I think you'd been gone about a month when he called it. He said, look, Kevin's dead. We all know that. Where are you guys going to hold the service? And I said, we got to go to Farrell's, right?
Yeah.
Kevin loves the kids' menu at Farrell's. They got mac and cheese. They got grilled cheese.
And
they got
those pig trough.
The pig trough. That's what we said. Yeah. We put out a whole bunch of pig troughs for all your fans to come by and have ice cream.
In your butt and ring the bell. It's going to be a great ceremony.
Sounds like the best party ever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're going to miss it. So anyway, we all decided that we're going to the Brea Farrell's as soon as we got the official word from the coroner that it had to be confirmed. We were going to schedule the next day's broadcast from down there.
Just have an ice cream wake.
So we may still do that, so you just let us know
like
when you're dead,
plan.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I'm dead. Okay.
Thank you. All right, time for our first look at the showbiz beat now. What's going on?
It's like Gary Shandling. What Gary Shandling did, he took his farewell into his own hands, and apparently he had arranged his funeral before his passing.
Really?
Yeah. So the ceremony is to his specific orders. It's a small private Buddhist funeral where he will be ordained as a monk. His head will be shaved, and he will be buried with a card detailing the five precepts of Buddha. And then the congregation will light incense to guide his spirit to the next life.
Hey, now.
Not nearly as good as the pig's trough and a sparkler in your butt.
I think Kevin wins that
one. Kevin wins. You may not beat Gary Shandling in life, but you will beat him in death, Kevin. I promise you. This is a bad idea. I'm sorry, it's nothing to do with show business, but I read this morning, I can't stop thinking about it. Do you remember this woman in Sweden who had to call the police because of her date?
No.
Apparently, the man wanted to get romantic. It was a first date, and she refused him. Now, this seems like a bad story, right? But it doesn't... Well, it turns out, but not in the way you think. That's when the guy, according to the police in Sweden, let loose what they're calling a revenge fart. He was angry that she wouldn't get romantic with him.
Right. So he punished her?
So he filled the room with what the victim told the police, a very, very smelling bad fart. That disturbed her peace of mind to the point where she had to call the police. No word on whether the cops filed any charges against the man, but...
Smells like donkey ass.
Just be careful. Be careful what you put out there in the world.
Smell it.
Oh.
Right?
Just the other day was Eric Clapton's birthday, and we started debating top three guitarists of all time.
It was tough, too.
It was tough. We all banded about a bunch of names, but it seemed like Clapton was the one consistent name that always fell in the top three.
Sure.
On the heels of that, I thought this was interesting. Rolling Stone magazine has released yet another poll. This one is called the 100 Greatest Drummers of All Time. An equally difficult list to come up with, I think. But anyway, I thought I'd present the top 10 to you and see if you can agree or not.
If my number one's not number one, then this list is BS.
Same.
Suck it.
Because no opinions can't differ anymore.
That's right.
Either people are haters or wrong.
That's correct. Correct. Yes.
Stuart Copeland of the Police, they say, is the 10th greatest drummer of all time.
He definitely deserves to be in the top 10 for sure.
Al Jackson Jr. from Booker T. and the MGs.
Ooh.
Those of you who don't know, that band not only had hit records in its own right, but it was the house band. It was the studio musicians for an enormous amount of great artists out of Stax Records.
He's legendary and influential, sure.
Mitch Mitchell from the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Krupa, legendary jazz drummer. Clyde Stubblefield. James Brown's drummer. By the way, where's Charles on this list, right? Where's our boy Charles? Hal Blaine, legendary part of the L.A. studio band, the Wrecking Crew, the guys they would hire for all the tracks.
Probably played on more hit records than any other musician, I bet.
Probably right. He's fifth. Neil Peart.
Ralph!
My number one.
That was my number one.
That's outrageous.
He's fourth. You all suck.
He's not only unbelievable, the stuff he plays is so tricky and so complicated that it's almost impossible for anybody else to cover him.
You all suck.
He's fourth.
Yeah, him. By the way, my favorite's not even in the top 10, by the way.
Who's yours?
Carl Palmer.
Sure.
From Emerson, Lake and Palmer in Asia. An amazing drummer. Not even in the top 10. Third, right. Ginger Baker of Cream. Ginger Baker.
Pretty great.
Okay.
Not Neil Peart great, but pretty great.
And one and two, I would switch around.
Can we guess?
You can guess. Sure, you can guess.
I'm going to say Ringo's got to be.
Ringo, not even in the top 10.
You're kidding.
Not even in the top 10.
A lot of people love that.
A lot of people love Ringo, but he's not necessarily known as one of the greatest technical drummers of all time.
I'm going to say that girl from Hanson.
The girl from Hanson did not make the list.
John Bonham?
Bonham number one. John Bonham from Led Zeppelin number one.
Well, it's hard. Look, I would have put Neil there, but he's pretty unbelievable.
And at number two?
Beer mug?
beer mug.
He likes beer. Right.
Wow. Myself, I'm a drummer. So, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
Your dad exposed himself.
He loves
to
all sorts
a lot,
of stuff. I'm not closed minded. But that aside, let me see what
he's
else.
He's falling down the list as he keeps talking.
About here.
Rolling Stone is adjusting the list as they hear him talk.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay. We got that.
I love beats.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I could get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer.
Sure.
Thank you.
If you ever need a perfectly fine drummer, I'm your guy. Keith Moon of The Who. Keith Moon.
Oh, sure.
Come on.
Who are you angry at?
The list.
Keith Moon?
He's great. He's top five, sure.
Then why are you so upset?
Because Neil Peart should be number one, period.
Stop. I agree with the girl.
I love Keith Moon. He was like a wild animal behind the kit.
Where's Animal on that list?
Animal not on the list, you're right.
Speaking of, how about a young man named David Grohl, by the way?
He's pretty good.
He plays guitar, dude. Don't you see Foo Fighters? What an idiot. Did you learn something about music?
Sorry, I guess I was thinking of the other
Taylor
guy.
Taylor Hawkins is the drummer for Foo Fighters. Boy,
yeah, I forgot. I thought for some reason I was thinking Dave Grohl could play drums. I guess I'm wrong on that.
Nope. Open up a blog.
Open up a blog.
Right, that's a good
Sit
point.
Down. Sit Today's down. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Oyelowo celebrates his 40th birthday. Very talented actor. Taron Killam from SNL is 34. And Susan Boyle. Oh, Susan Boyle. We're going to have to get some I Dreamed a Dream up in this house today.
Up in this house?
Yes.
Is that what we're going to do?
Susan Boyle's my John.
Sure.
Is she?
I had a dream that was a dream. And then I dreamed I was dreaming. I often dream of dreaming dreams.
Okay.
Susan Boyle.
Right.
No.
Susan Boyle!
Right. Sure. But you singing it kind of desecrates her memory.
She's not dead.
She's a shame.
It's her birthday.
She'd
today.
Be rolling over her grave right now.
All right, we're out of time. We'll get her in the next hour. We'll have that whore sing it instead of me. So much better than her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think the final determination on whether Kevin was dead or not is if he missed Coachella. That's how we'd know. Because if Kevin was alive, he was going to be at Coachella. I knew that. You've often said, Kevin, it's your favorite weekend of the whole year.
I feel like if I was dead, I would be at Coachella.
Yeah, we'd weekend in Bernie's, you. For sure.
Right. And he'd also be at Burning Man.
Absolutely.
As the Burning Man, if he was dead. Oh. We'd just prop him up and just light him up. Light him up! I do love fire and sparklers in the ass. That's a recurring theme. Kevin's
all
body.
Of your stories involve sparklers
a
in the
sparkler
ass.
Sparkler in Kevin's ass.
Coachella, by the way, is 2 weeks from today, and we are continuing to give away tickets here on K-Rock Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. You can win sold-out three-day passes this afternoon at 5 with Stryker and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. You, too, can put a sparkler in Kevin's ass when you stop by the K-Rock Coachella house. And we're giving away a brand new car, too, a 2016 Jeep Renegade. Details at krock.com. It's Friday. That means it's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
This weekend is just wow. Everyone must still be afraid of Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. Because this weekend, for the most part, is just wow.
And is that good or bad? Wow.
Well,
this wow. What is
mostly bad.
Define. Okay.
Sort of a dumping ground. It seems like. Hey, remember that movie we made a couple years ago? Let's pull that up the shelf and we got to release something. Look, we're gonna get murdered no matter what we put out there. So let's put out something we're gonna burn off. Starting with God's Not Dead 2. Remember God's Not Dead 1?
I don't at all.
I think it was Kevin Sorbo. Played a teacher in college, and the question was, is God dead? And some student stood up and said, no, God is not dead, and I'll prove it. And it's a holy roller film, and it made many people very happy.
But once God's not dead is established...
He's not dead again!
Right, is he just still
Now he's
not?
Really not dead. This is a different story about a high school teacher who asked the class a question about Jesus, and boy, does it start up some brouhaha.
Is that a word
amongst
that we're using?
The believers and the non-believers, and we all know Jesus.
Jesus,
right? This is kind of a rip from the headlines. Actual real issue in schools, though, is whether you can talk about religion as part of history, government, everything else, right?
Right. Here are some clips from the trailer of God's Not Dead 2.
One of your students sent a text to their parents. Did this happen?
Yes.
And your answer incorporated the words of Jesus.
What were you thinking, Grace?
The Thollies are asking that you be fired.
We're going to prove once and for all that God is dead.
I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus.
I'm not afraid to say it either. I'm not afraid to say his name. Jesus Christ, this movie looks awful. There, I said it, and I'm standing by it. There I am. Robin Givens stars, along with Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes,
finally, the screen pairing we've all been waiting for.
And
Jesus.
And Jesus, of course. He's sort of like a supporting role. He'll get nominated, I bet. Jesus.
Well, we know what Ted Cruz will be doing this weekend, at least.
That's right. He'll be very busy. The Dark Horse opens up this weekend. This is a drama about a man who searches for the courage to lead in his own community despite his own adversities, and he wants to pass on his gift to the children in his community. I have no idea what this movie's about, none whatsoever.
I've never heard of the Dark Horse. I've looked at trailers.
I cannot figure anything. Let's join hands and walk through this trailer together and see if we can figure out what's going on here.
I want to lead you all for the National Chess Championships in 6 weeks' time.
Jim, what are you doing?
I can help them.
You talk dreams to those tamarikis, you better follow through. Take your meds, get your sleep, whatever. Just promise me you won't let them down.
Doesn't matter if you're a pawn or a king or a bishop, you're all welcome to play on this board.
This is the best thing that has ever happened to those kids.
I can't make a word out.
He's in a national cheese championship.
I believe it's chess. I got chess.
I heard cheese, too, by the way.
But beyond chess, I heard, you're slipping and you're putting in for the fun of the sword you can buy.
We should have played the one in English. The trailer in English.
That's the best one we could find. That's in limited release as well. Miles Away. Now we're talking. Now we're getting to the good end of the spectrum with Miles Away. Miles Ahead, rather. Miles Ahead is the name of the film. Don Cheadle stars as legendary trumpetist?
I think trumpeter, yeah. That's right.
Trumpeter?
Doesn't matter, I'm out.
Come on!
Oh,
Miles Davis!
This is one of those great influential musicians of all time, Kevin.
Yeah, can't wait.
Miles.
And Don Cheadle is one of our greatest actors.
Miles.
The Miles Man.
The Miles Man.
Don Cheadle, Ewan McGregor, Michael Stuhlbarge. Great, great cast. Cheadle's been working on this biopic for years, has wanted to get this story up on the screen, and it finally happens this weekend in limited release. Here's some clips from the trailer of Miles Ahead.
We actually own that tape.
Miles!
You own? How much money you got on you? Okay, you about 19,000 light, but that's a start.
Studied piano too, huh?
Nah, just woke up black, knew how to play.
You're black?
You're trying to piss me off, man.
You don't know what the word loose means, do you, Miles?
I'm getting my music back.
This is madness. I am not dying over this jazz tape.
Don't call it jazz, man. That's a made-up word. It's social music.
You are all going to die tonight.
No,
I don't think that's scary.
Miles.
Kevin, did you see the Ray Charles movie with Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, there's a musician you don't care about, but it still was a great movie. That could be the case with this, too.
I was like, I didn't see
this
it.
Remember this movie come Oscar time, Kevin. Remember it. You'll remember it.
I'll remember it.
Smell it.
You put.
I don't think that's necessary.
Then, this is the movie I've been looking forward to for some time now. Ever since I first heard about it, Richard Linklater returns to the genre that made him a household name. Remember Dazed and Confused, of course.
Oh, one of the greatest movies of all time ever.
A fascinating, perfect, spot-on, pitch-perfect exploration of youth in the 70s. Now we're moving up a decade. This is his 80s film called Everybody Wants Some.
Yay!
The kids love it.
Story of a group of college baseball players who are navigating their way through being unsupervised adults for the first time. And I think, they party and they... Everybody wants some! They play a lot of Van Halen and drink. Come on! What's not to love? Here's some clips from the trailer of Everybody Wants Some.
We have a little tradition welcoming the new guys.
Freshman batting practice!
Welcome to the big time, boys.
My nuts!
look at what we have here.
Hey, ladies.
Party later tonight at the baseball houses.
You should be investing this energy elsewhere.
Lesbians.
I like the quiet guy in the backseat.
Oh, there's nothing here.
Yeah, I can see how that could get threatening. New guy coming in, getting all the ladies. How's a joke?
I got your joke right here.
Did he just call it a joke?
That's what he implied.
Come on!
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rodney is
Rodney likes the 80s.
He sounds like he's very much into it. He does love
the
80s.
And lastly, Meet the Blacks, a new film starring Mike Epps. It's a story of a black family from Chicago who comes across some money, and so they move to Beverly Hills. Whoop. They couldn't have picked a worse time, however, because they arrive around the time of the Purge. This is a...
What?
This is a black purge spoof called Meet the Blacks about a black family that moves to Beverly Hills, and the purge happens, and they get cornered by some bad dudes, including Mike Tyson playing one of the murderers.
Okay.
How many Wayans brothers are in this film?
No Wayans brothers, but it is very much of that genre. I think this is a spoof of Wayans Brothers spoofs of movies that the Wayans Brothers spoof without the Wayans Brothers.
Well, at least Kevin has something to see instead of that Miles Davis movie now.
Miles Davis, everybody, what's up? Kevin will be checking out Meet the Blacks. This is crazy. Listen.
Yeah, Eric.
No.
Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude, all right? So I'm going to go. I'm
double cross. A lot of crime in that neighborhood.
No, no. This is Meet the Blacks.
Are the Smiths.
My name is Carl Black.
It's a little ironic that your name is Black.
Don't say it, bitch.
That's the first warning.
Yes.
Happy Purge, neighbor.
Happy Purge.
Tonight is the Purge. You ain't done nothing wrong. You got nothing to worry about. Purge ain't about you. It's about the rest of you. And you know who you are.
Purge deep nuts.
Think that you can move into my neighborhood?
Waving your hands in the air like you just don't care?
Feels like we're in a horror movie.
Sounds very fresh, Ralph.
Wow. And, by the way, in case your ears, you thought your ears might be deceiving you, that is George Lopez as the President of the United States, by the way. So this movie really has everything. It's the perfect film.
Okay. I didn't see Batman v Superman. Should I go to that instead, perhaps?
That's a choice.
We're not allowed to answer that question on the air. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
If we were instructed, we are not allowed to.
I can no longer
advise.
Talk about that film on the grounds that I may incriminate myself.
I'm really looking forward to it.
There you go.
All right.
There's one vote for that film, so you can do that. Yeah, it's a weird weekend.
Mate, just but you got everybody what's up.
Spend some time with your family. Just spend some time at home. Gather around the hearth. Join hands and sing an old spiritual, won't you? God's not dead.
Do people have to do that?
Yes.
Terrible plan.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
It's spring.
By the way, that voice some of you are hearing for the first time is a new addition to the program. His name is Kevin Ryder. I hope you will be nice to him. Don't say mean things to him on Twitter.
That wouldn't happen to a new person.
Yeah, I'm that's
just,
ridiculous, right?
I'm just saying, give him some time. I know you think you don't like him just because he's new and different, but give him some time, and I think you'll get used to him, and I think eventually you'll see that the show will be better because this young man is on the show. So I'm just asking as a favor to us if you could be kind to the young man, all right? All right. I want to talk about Russian billionaire Mikhail Gusev, and I'm sure I pronounced that wrong, and I apologize. He is worth over $6 billion. He's an oil man in Russia, and he is in the news right now because his son just got married. His son, Sade, is 28 years old, who married a dental student named Khajida, and they had a wedding for the ages, a wedding that cost, are you ready for this, $1 billion.
I don't know how that's possible.
Mm-mm.
I'm still at the point when I see stories where people spend $100,000 on a wedding. It blows my mind that somebody throws away that kind of money.
Did you say a billion? Not a million, but a billion?
$1 billion. Now, I'm trying to figure out how they spent so much money on the day. And I guess part of it is in the entertainment costs, because instead of hiring a DJ to entertain the 600 guests at the wedding – they hired Jennifer Lopez to perform, Sting, and Enrique Iglesias.
Well, they probably threw him in.
He was free with the purchase of J-Lo. I don't know how much they cost, but I guess that adds up. And I will tell you some more about this wedding. But I believe Dave was actually able to line up Mikhail Gusterov on the phone with us right now from Russia. And he joins us now on the Kevin Devine Show. Hello, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Is it true that you spent $1 billion on your kid's wedding?
Yes, this is true. Spent $1 billion for wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone had a pretty good time, I think.
I hope so. Okay. Your new daughter-in-law had a wedding dress made by Elie Saab, imported from Paris, which surprisingly was a very modest $25,000 for the wedding gown,
yes,
by the
it
way.
It was a little rag she threw right. on for the thing. It was fine. I should have spent more, I think, for the better wedding dress. $25,000 doesn't buy what it used to, you know?
Now, you did gift her with a diamond tiara and a diamond pendant to wear around her neck, which I'm sure was very expensive. I'm sure that was quite a bit of cost. You also had your guests arrive in a fleet of luxury cars, including Rolls Royces and Bentleys. So you really spared no expense to make this a high-class party.
You think? I spent no expense. It's $1 billion.
Yes, it's $1 billion.
You're saying I spent a lot of money on wedding.
That is what I'm saying.
Very
yes.
insightful of it's you, American very, radio personality.
It's really hard for us to get our mind around spending that much money on one wedding.
Well, that's how I roll. It's,
right.
It's thug life.
You know? Okay, so, by the way,
making it rain. So
you are making it rain, yes. A 9-tier wedding cake, by the way. But, all right, so let's not talk about the Russian wedding anymore.
Yes,
because
let's not longer
that's
live,
in the past.
Live in past. Yes,
let's not live in past.
Look to
right.
future.
Is it true that this billion-dollar wedding is not enough for your son and his new bride, that you are now having another wedding coming up soon in London?
Yes, yes. We're having a second wedding in London for them to have proper send-off, kick-off their lives together.
Same bride?
Yes, same bride. Of course, what do you think? We're pig dogs?
Right, but you just spent $1 billion. Isn't that enough of a wedding? Why do they need a second ceremony?
Listen, you want young couple to have a start in life that is memorable, okay? You don't want some crappy, let's go down to the IHOP, have pancakes for a wedding.
Well, I don't think that's what's happening here.
You want them have special day twice.
Okay.
For $2 billion.
So how much – I'm sorry. How much are you going to spend for the second wedding?
This one will be $2 billion I'm shooting for.
How do you even spend $2 billion?
We have to step up your game in the situation.
Okay. So how are you going to step up spending –
First wedding, I gave Kaji a diamond tiara and necklace to wear.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
For this wedding, I am injecting diamonds under her skin.
Oh.
I'm going to fill her body with diamonds so much that she will click when she walks.
Okay. Right,
with them rubbing together underneath skin.
Does she want that?
Does not matter what she's wanting. I am paying $2 billion. I get to call the shots.
Okay. I see. This is about you looking rich is what this is about, more than your son's wedding.
My
I understand.
Son Saeed, I'm going to have his penis dipped in gold.
Oh, that sounds...
Penis and testicles will be dipped into molten gold.
Oh, no.
So that he will be forever covered in gold with genitals. No
right,
one's ever done this before. It's amazing.
Right, but that sounds medically sketchy. I would be concerned about that.
Sketchy.
Listen, are you a doctor?
I am not doctor.
Well, then keep opinion to self.
Okay, I will. All right.
The meal will be like you've never had before. We will start off with the canapés, with the, how do you say, hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres, right, sure.
A penguin on a cracker.
Oh, no. Don't eat a penguin.
The roasted penguin with a succulent penguin on a Ritz.
That's a big cracker.
But why on a
Not
Ritz?
Not a whole thing. When they were cutting off pieces.
Crackers.
Okay. I love Ritz crackers. It's economical but delicious.
Okay.
It tastes so much more expensive than it is.
Okay.
Then, of course, you'll have pearl soup.
Pearl soup
made of pearls.
Oh.
It's delicious.
You can't really eat that, though, can you?
The hell you can. Yes, you eat the pearls. Eat the pearls.
Okay.
And they pass really easily, too. So next day in the toilet, you're like, hey, look. I pooped pearl necklace. Amazing. Then main course, roast unicorn.
Oh, I don't think unicorns are real.
Ah, you're right. We had we could not find them.
Uh-huh.
So we just got some horses and jammed the horns into their heads.
Oh, that's terrible.
Then we'll trot them around, and then everyone gets a piece.
Oh, this is terrible.
For the people driving to a wedding, trained bears will be the valets.
Trained bears
will take your car and park them.
What's going on with that?
That's like $4 million to train bears to drive cars.
This is amazing.
Especially stick shift. They had a hard time with stick shift.
I bet.
We all have a photo booth.
Uh-huh.
Which is really great.
Okay.
And a heroin booth and a hooker booth for everyone at reception. And then at the end of day for saying goodbyes for the party favors, everybody gets a puppy monkey baby.
Oh. That's the first thing you've said that makes sense.
Why? You what? The pearl soup? You don't like pearl soup?
No.
Stupid.
It's 6:54.
How about R.J. Bell, pregame.com in Las Vegas, talking Final Four, college basketball. That's up just after 7 o'clock. First wrap is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
How about that Villanova, huh?
How about them?
Philly in the house, yo.
Oh, they're your team, sure.
Nova's my John.
That's right, man. They're playing who? Oklahoma, maybe?
I don't know.
So you're very invested.
Just being reactionary, that's all. Hey, tonight, what are you doing tonight? How about spending tonight with a couple April Fools?
Is this where you tell people you're going to do the show and then you're not?
No, we are going to do it. Kevin Smith and I hit the stage once again with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. It's going to be a good one tonight. We're going to have some fun, I promise. Kevin's going to be extra baked. This guy can sense it. There's a disturbance in the force, and that's usually a good time. Come on out and see us 10 p.m. tonight at the Improv on Melrose. You can go to improv.com to pick up your tickets. There's still a few.
Yeah. I'm just not sure about that right now.
Better move. There's only a couple left. Disney has announced a sequel to their live-action Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs film. The new film will be a live-action movie about Snow's lesser-known sister, Rose Red.
Why is this a thing?
Because the Snow White, of course, was in Snow White and the Huntsman, and now this is the story of her sister, Rose Red. Rose Red sounds like the fun one to me. Like Snow White. I'm pure as snow. I'm Red Rose. It's a party. Red Rose is a good time.
Was she farting there, or what was she doing?
Those noises were a party. She's just being all sloppy drunk. She's the one who goes with the dwarfs and just bones them all. She's at the house with the dwarfs, it's a party going on. Snow White's like making soup and stuff. Rose Red is like making whoopee, right?
Now, Disney is making this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe we'll have all the elements that I'm imagining. But I get the sense that Rose Red is a little bit more of a goer than Snow White was. I get that vibe.
Right? So boring chicks make soup.
Right? Yes.
I had no idea.
Well, open up a blog.
Okay. I didn't know you had such Snow White feelings. This is like a real revelation.
I've got Rose Red feelings. White feelings. Hey, shoes.
Right?
Right?
I'm with you on that.
You are bringing it today.
Shoes. Well, sneakers is a thing that, look, I'm a collector. I know about the collector mentality. I get the vibe. I understand people's passion. But the folks who collect athletic shoes.
Oh, shoe heads are big.
It's a phenomenon that is constantly surprising to me and also confusing. Right?
Oh my God.
Shoes. Right? Shoes?
Let's get some shit.
That's how they feel.
Let's get some shit.
They just want to get shoes. And whenever there's a big shoe announcement, it's always a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when they released the Back to the Future shoe? Marty McFly's self-lacing Nikes.
Right.
And they made those for reals. And people went nuts and they had to have them.
Right.
There's another showbiz shoe that people now are salivating over. The Reebok Stompers. The Stompers are what Sigourney Weaver wore to kick butt in Aliens. And they are making a comeback. The Alien Stompers are being re-released at the end of this month on April the 26th. They custom-made high tops by the good folks at Reebok. And they've been designed and designated to be released on Alien Day.
What's Alien Day?
Alien Day is April 26th. In the original Alien movie, Ripley and the crew of the Nostromo first discover the acid-dripping alien on the planet LV-426. That's the name of the planet, LV-426. 426. April 26th, Alien Day.
John Broyles!
Nope. I just got burnt.
I don't feel like I got
you
burnt.
You are burnt.
I don't feel like that.
So an exact replica of Ripley's shoes will be available in limited quantities on that day. So you're going to have to stand in line. And they will also, as a bonus, have the mid-top, not the high-top, but the mid-top version worn by Lance Henriksen's android Bishop.
What are you saying?
Bishop's shoes and Ripley's shoes will be available from the good folks at Reebok on Alien Day 426.
I have understood almost
none of this story, by the way.
Come on! People love shoes. That's how we started. And these are famous shoes from a science fiction movie that people want to have.
And the heat from aliens has never been hotter.
Listen.
You got that going for you.
You don't know. Sit down.
These are the ugliest shoes I've ever seen.
They're the stompers.
They're horrible.
Alien stompers. You're getting them.
Okay.
You're getting them.
They're made for stomping aliens, for God's sakes, Allie. They're not made for fashion. What's wrong with you?
I apologize.
You're gonna wish you had next time run across the Queen Mother. Acid spitting in your face. You won't like that at all. Face hugger coming out of your chest.
You'll be trying to kick him with her Keds.
That's right.
Nothing.
That won't work.
Nothing.
I wear Keds.
I don't know. You'll be, damn, I wish I had those stompers on.
I was trying to think of
very rich story.
Instead of my Birkenstocks and culottes.
Birkenstocks.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Taron Killam. He is 34 years old today.
Very enormously funny on SNL.
Very talented young man. David Oyelowo, very talented actor, 40 years old today. And Susan Boyle. Oh, we fell in love with her in America's Got Talent. And we
Britain's
still,
got talent.
And Britain had talent as well. That's where she was. And we fell in love with her, and we still love her, because she's Susan Boyle, damn it. And she looks like a bag full of melons.
Why?
But she sings like an angel. And that's what we love in her. We love her dichotomy. We love how the two disparate factions can be brought together into one special lady. And now here's a little of Susan Boyle singing, I Had a Dream. Or an old Scottish cat lady. Still, it's a pretty voice. I defy you. Go online, find her original audition for Britain's Got Talent.
I wept.
And I defy you not to get chills and get choked up when you see it. Because she comes out and she's such a mess. And she's obviously socially awkward. And she's dumpy. And she's older. And Simon Cowell is having a laugh at her expense. And then she starts to do what she does. And the entire room explodes with people who are 100% behind her, to the point where even Simon Cowell is weeping. It's insane.
And if I remember her backstory, she was I think she had the Asperger's for starters, but she was just a loner cat lady who was very awkward.
I think she worked as like a clerk at a church or something.
Very awkward around people.
Very small life.
Yeah.
And now she's a multi-million-dollar recording artist.
Yep, still making records, by the way, that are still selling big, too.
Now she has 170,000 cats. She lives in a warehouse
can afford them.
With cats because she's got the money now. She has all the cats.
It's a beautiful ending.
If you're missing a cat, call Susan, because odds are she's got it. She's got the money. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited about our next guest. We love having him on throughout the year because he is the odds maker to the stars. Pregame.com, our friend in Las Vegas is RJ Bell. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
Mr. Bell, how are you out in the desert this morning, my friend?
You know, it's a nice day in the desert, and we got a big weekend of action coming up.
a huge weekend, and we were talking off the air, and I was so surprised to hear that more money is bet in Las Vegas on the NCAA men's basketball tournament than is bet on the Super Bowl, which I would have bet any amount of money. The Super Bowl would be the biggest money grab of the whole year.
Yeah, no doubt. Except it's important to remember, if you look at a single event that's played on one day, well, Super Bowl is king, not even close. NCAA tournament is 60-plus games. Now, it's condensed over a few weeks, but when you add up the action in all of those games, it ends up being more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so you've got two number two seeds, Villanova versus Oklahoma, playing the early game from Houston tomorrow. And then right after that is the number 10 seed Syracuse up against number one North Carolina. What are your thoughts heading into the weekend, RJ?
Yeah, so we'll touch on the games real quick. Villanova favored by 2 points over Oklahoma. This is a classic trap game, a Vegas trap. Now, what does that mean? It means Vegas is giving you something that the average fan looks at and says, oh, I get Oklahoma, I get Buddy Hield, and I get points. Yum, yum, give me some of that. Now, remember.
Oh, dear.
Remember,
did they say yum, yum, technically?
It's a catchphrase I'm trying to trademark. What do you guys think?
Good luck.
I don't love it.
Good luck.
It's kind of like fetch, you know. But
good luck with that.
But hey, yum, yum, give me some of that. Repetition is going to be key, I think.
Sure. Okay. All right.
But here's the thing. Is everyone, however you want to describe it, trademark or not, people are looking at that saying that looks appealing. And whenever Vegas gives you something that's particularly appealing, that means you probably don't want it because they know the average fan thinks it's appealing. And Villanova's just the better team right now. Buddy Hield's getting a lot of attention. He's the one player that's broken through. And I think because of that, the fact Oklahoma is getting points, you've got to be scared of that. I would lean towards Villanova in that first matchup.
Interesting. We were talking to our old friend Andrew Siciliano on the show yesterday from the NFL Network, who is a Syracuse Orangeman, and he just, even as a fan who roots, you know, every year so hard for his team, he can't believe they're in the Final Four. What were the odds against them getting to this point in the tournament, RJ?
Yeah, I mean, really, they were probably favored not to even make the tournament on Selection Sunday. So, I mean, this is historic. I mean, let's kind of put it into a little bit of context here. Is Syracuse is only the fourth double-digit seed. Now, remember, in the tournament, they seed the teams 1 through 16 in each of the four quarters of the tournament. And double-digit, obviously 10 or above, only four double-digit seeds in history have ever made the Final Four. So, I mean, this is bucking a ton of history. It's such a long shot. And they are a big long shot in this game. North Carolina favored by 9.5 in this game. That's big. I mean, this is the Final Four.
You don't see that very often in a Final Four game, that spread, right?
That's rare. And thinking back, it might be as big as I remember because North Carolina is clearly the best team. If they end up beating Syracuse, North Carolina is going to be favored against, it doesn't matter if Oklahoma wins or Villanova wins, North Carolina will be the clear favorite. Now, what I do think is another advantage for North Carolina, and it'll be fun for the casual fans to watch, is the venue. They're playing in a very big arena, and typically this arena historically has been terrible for outside shooting teams. Teams that like to shoot from the outside, those longer shots. The venue, because of the sight lines and the backdrop for the shooter, is very difficult historically, which is another advantage for North Carolina because they're a very big team that likes to push the ball inside, whereas Syracuse shoots more from the outside. So it would be a very big upset if Syracuse wins the game.
That's a great tip that I would not have known about with the history of that stadium. Did you see the guy in Syracuse, by the way, who is on track to win or would have been on track to win the Yahoo bracket? He has picked 48 out of 60 games correct and has all four of the teams in the Final Four on his bracket. Have you seen that guy yet, RJ?
You know, I haven't, but that's very impressive.
He picked Syracuse in – now, granted, he's a homer, but he picked them in the Final Four along with Villanova, Oklahoma, North Carolina. But here is why this story is unbelievable. And, Kevin, you're going to love this. He forgot to fill in a champion at the end. He left a blank on the last page of his bracket. So he is ineligible, even though he is in first place out of over a half a million entries on the Yahoo bracket contest. He cannot win the grand prize because he forgot to pick a national champion.
The devil's in the details. Now, speaking of perfect brackets, because before the tournament, every year, everyone's talking. There's 9.2 quintillion possible brackets. But one fun thing I do is I look at every game, who wins the game, and who Vegas thought would win the game. And based upon the 60 games so far in the main bracket, and that's how many it would have taken to be 60 out of 60, the odds against the perfect bracket, based upon the actual game results so far, 9.5 trillion, 9.5 trillion to one, and you still got three games to go.
Yeah, it's tough sledding. All right, so Final Four this weekend. RJ, in our final minute, I was so fascinated to hear from our producer Dave this morning that Las Vegas handles odds on presidential elections. I never knew that you could go to Las Vegas and put money down on, say, a long shot like Bernie Sanders to win the presidency. This is a deal, right?
Yeah, so actually Nevada doesn't do this, but the online books do, and the European books, like William Hill and Ladbrokers and some of the big, I mean, billion-dollar type sports books in Europe take huge action. I mean, millions and millions of dollars on the American elections, especially the presidential election. I'll just give you guys a quick rundown. No comment about any of it.
All right.
I don't get political. Republican nominee Trump, significant favorite right now, minus 200. So you actually got to bet $2 just to win $1. He's a clear favorite. Cruz 4-1, Kasich 8-1. Here's what's fascinating. About a month ago, if you would have said Paul Ryan, he's going to come in as a white knight, you would have gotten about 50-1 odds a month ago. Now, 20-1 on Paul Ryan. So still a long shot.
That's a lot of people expecting a broker convention.
Yeah, well, it's certainly moving in that direction. On the Democrat side, real quick, Clinton is just a big favorite. $10 you got to bet just to win $1. Clear favorite. Sanders 8-1.
Are people betting $10 to win $1?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is if you think the odds, I mean, if you really think about what Vegas does when they play roulette, let's say, where they're booking you, well, they're allowing you, they're betting $35 or they're betting $35 to win $1 every time you put something on roulette. So as long as the odds are in your favor, pros are willing to lay a lot to win a little. Lastly, though, quickly, to win the presidency, is Clinton is a clear favorite, minus 250, Trump 3-1, and then from there, everyone's in double digits.
RJ, would you say in politics, yum, yum, give me some?
You know,
summarize it.
Do you see how it's catching on?
It's already catching on.
I'm going to tell you this.
Repetition is key. You are right.
Next year, we're going to make it every week. I say it once, and I bet by the end of the year, on Twitter, it's going to be a hashtag.
All right. You can go to pregame.com,
the
exclusive odds provider,
by the way,
for the Associated Press. You can see all you need to know about this weekend's Final Four. Also, Major League Baseball season starts this weekend. You can get the odds on that. There's already World Series odds posted. You got the Super Bowl odds that have just been updated. A lot of great stuff for you at pregame.com. Follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great weekend, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
We got hundreds of entries to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness concert at the Shrine tomorrow night, and we narrowed it down to 10. They've been up on the website for the past 2 weeks or so, and the voting closed yesterday, which means we got a phone call to make in about 10 minutes to one of the lucky comedians to tell him or her the good news that we'll see him tomorrow night at the Shrine. So we'll all find out together who that's going to be coming up. First, though, Kevin and Bean Afro Line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail. You can call 24 hours a day. Leave a message on any topic. What's it looking like?
Kevin, come back. Bean, I hate you. Get off the radio.
Got a lot of that. I really developed a deep bond with many of our listeners while you were out, Kevin.
Here's what's funny, though, is usually when Bean's gone, I get those kind of calls.
Right.
I don't think people like either of us.
No, nobody's satisfied with whatever product we're putting on the air, together or apart.
Hey, I'm watching Drunk History. What's that one episode that Bean did?
Oh, too soon.
That's hurtful, sir.
He got turned down for drug
They did history. Say yes. They were excited to have me. And then I just waited by the phone for them to call for what date my episode was going to be. And then next thing I heard, the whole season had been filmed and I was not included.
Hey, I was wondering if Beer Mug had one more impression to add to the reel of Johnny. Can he do Johnny Asshole?
Great question.
Well, that's really his default resting position.
Johnny Chicago? Johnny Chicago, no!
I gotta tell you, dumb joke, great delivery.
I loved it.
Great delivery. That was pretty sweet. Remember when we were trying to figure out what are you gonna do, spoon me to death, for the last 15 years?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Let's put this, what are you gonna do, spoon us to death, to bed, for finally. Aladdin Animated, episode 125, Dune Quixote.
Or so help me, I'll good luck. Spoon us to death.
Goodbye.
I appreciate how happy you are about that, but again, that's not the quote that we were looking for. It's something that's similar to a line of dialogue in lots of other TV shows and movies.
I think it doesn't exist.
I think you're right.
That's the thing, but we've been trying to find it, and we're not going to give up.
I think we should. Yeah.
No, that's not how we go.
Okay.
That's not how we roll.
All right.
Here's a happy listener.
Get in the car, and first thing I hear is, your Ralph just called God a dick? Solid way to start the day. Thanks, Ralph.
He did.
That did happen.
I mean, he was saying if God actually was responsible for this activity on Earth, then he would be a dick. But, you know, he didn't really say it quite that way. What are you going to do?
So on a first date, Allie would be comfortable rolling out of the bathroom and saying, I just dropped a log in there and it won't flush. It's crazy that she's still alone.
We were talking about a story, Kevin, while you were gone, about a woman who was on a date, and she left a present in the toilet of the man she was visiting, and it would not flush. So she took it out and wrapped it up in toilet paper and kept it in her purse.
Mm-hmm. I saw that at Borat. Same thing.
It's very similar to that. Yes, exactly. And Allie, I guess he was referring to your reaction to the story.
Yeah,
right?
I said, just go out and say, oh, your toilet won't flush.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think
that.
A lot of women would be uncomfortable in having that conversation on an early date.
I swear to God, I would climb out the window.
You'd be too embarrassed to live.
That person would never see me again. Question for Allie.
Hey, this is for Allie. When you can, please, when you get a chance, please let me know what it is that I'm supposed to smell. Yeah, okay, thanks, bye.
Not sure what he's talking about.
I think you know exactly what
he's talking about.
Is you're always telling people,
smell it. I'm really not. I said that once about some candles, and now it's taken on a life of its own.
Muggs went to Shake Shack
and
did some interviews, and he was eating, and it sounded pretty gross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no.
All right, so that happened, and we played that, and that was like a half hour long. And then we said, it would probably make it pretty sexy if Allie's moaning...
And we were wrong.
...was put together as a duet with this.
Nope.
So here, I present for you now, Beer Mug and Allie with Smell It.
Hey, Kev Dog. I need to start my morning off right. How about a little remix of Beer Mug eating and Allie moaning? Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remembered it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, come on.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smell it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yum, yum, give me some, right?
Oh,
520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
I know you've been gone for a couple of weeks, Kevin, and you missed the new K-Rock policy where we play double the amount of the Red Hot Chili Peppers now.
Oh, great news.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners are loving it.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I had some doubts about it when we first announced it, but they have really, really warmed to it.
All right.
I learned something this year with the Kevin and Bean opening act contest to be the first person on the stage for April Foolishness, which is tomorrow night at the Shrine, by the way. We'll give away some tickets in a few minutes as well. What I learned was it's really hard to make it as a stand-up comedian. And the reason I say that is because we had so many entries, and particularly the people who ended up in our top 10, who are really funny, yet I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but it's really tough to break through and become a person that is well known doing stand-up comedy because there's so much competition and there's so many venues every single night with two, three, four, five, six comedians going up there, and it becomes a blur for a lot of people.
So we decided it would be wrong to pick one over everybody else, so there's no opening act.
No, we didn't decide that at all. We left it to the audience to decide.
That's
we put
I
up
meant.
The top 10 finalists for the opening act contest, and right now we are going to make that announcement and we're going to make the telephone call. So let's dial up the number and see who is on the other end of the line. And this will be the person who will be at the show at the Shrine tomorrow night. On a bill with Eliza Schlesinger. What is that? We don't hear the dialing. Is that what you're saying?
I was just helping.
Okay.
Was that helping?
Was it?
Bob Saget, Eddie If, okay. Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Jay Moore, our friend Wheeler Walker Jr., and... Oh, that would have been so cool if he would answer right then.
What
is the timing?
Would have been good. Would have been good.
Like Hall of Fame quality.
Oh, sure, there he is.
Grant Cotter?
Yes?
The opening act for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness at the Shrine tomorrow night?
What?
Yeah! Oh, that is a priceless reaction, Grant.
What?
Grant's my man. That was priceless. Congratulations, sir. You are the winner.
Is this a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
No, I know it is April Fool's Day, but no, we are actually calling to tell you the truth. The votes have been in, and you are the most popular of the 10 comedians in the final. And congratulations to you, sir.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
Wouldn't it be funny if you had plans tomorrow night? Sorry, everybody.
Grant, we know you're very funny from the clip you sent in, but we want to learn a little bit more about you. If you've just got you have a couple of minutes for us?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you're Orange County, born and raised. You still live there, right?
Close. I'm raised on Catalina Island.
Oh, my God.
What? No kidding. Really?
Yeah, I rode a buffalo to school. I just survived.
Wow. Same. Who knew? How long have you been doing comedy, Grant?
I've been doing stand-up 9 years.
And are you making a living doing it, or do you also still have a day job?
I'm trying real hard, but what some people call a living, another person calls a cry for help. So
yeah, so you're just scraping by. Okay, I got you. Now, I was really surprised to find out how much stuff you've done on TV. No offense, but I had not seen your work on the television, but you at one time were on an MTV show. What was that?
Oh, yeah, TVT, throwing it back to the good old days. I was on a show called Jerk to the Camera. It was a prank show.
Wait, Jerk to the Camera?
Whoa!
How could they put that on cable?
Like, how did I miss that?
I watched that on Playboy TV. I thought that was something different.
What was Jerks with Cameras? What kind of stuff did you do?
Just like prank people. You know, we'd go out on the streets and try to get the craziest reaction out of random people on the street by pissing them off just enough that MTV would still air it on air.
This is your kind of guy here, Kevin. Annoying the public. That's what you're famous for.
Pretty much.
And did you also do something for Spike TV as well, Grant?
I did a long time ago. I did an episode of 1,000 Ways to Die.
Oh, we love that show.
So good.
We loved that show. We were trying to get with the producers to let Kevin and Bean die on the show. We wanted to be corpses, and they said they would do it, but then the show got canceled.
They wouldn't even kill us.
They wouldn't even kill us, right? Did you get to play a body?
No, I played somebody who became a body. I didn't really have to play dead too long.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right, so Grant Cotter on the line. He is the opening act for the Kevin Amin April Foolishness tomorrow night at the Shrine Auditorium. Have you ever been to our show before? Have you you were familiar with the Foolishness before you entered this year, Grant?
Oh, yeah, I've gone for the past 4 years, or maybe even five. I've gone since you guys were at the Gibson Amphitheater over on Universal.
Kidding.
Oh,
that's
Grant.
Awesome. So you saw Larry King.
I've seen a lot of people. Yeah, so it's super cool to be able to go as not a spectator.
Here's what I like that you're a stoner as well. I like that. That makes me happy.
The most stoner response ever.
Oh, yeah. No comment.
It really is. All right, Grant. Well, look, I was wondering what this would be like for you to kind of – I mean, you knew it was a possibility, obviously. You entered the contest. You knew the time frame involved. But now that you're getting the call at 7:30 in the morning, you got to go, oh, my God, I got to figure out what act I'm going to do tomorrow night in front of 6,000 people. Now, does that wig you out, or are you a guy who handles adversity pretty well?
Does it wig you out?
I handle adversity pretty well. I think the hardest part is going to try to go back to sleep after this.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, Grant. Let's hear a little of Grant's comedy so we know what we're in store for tomorrow night at the Shrine, can we?
But I'm like that L.A. sober where I don't drink, but I still smoke weed, pop pills, and do mushrooms. Yeah. I had to quit drinking because I kept drunk dialing. I was the worst. It got so bad. I left a 67-minute message on my mom's phone telling her how much I wanted to Not her, just in general.
Congratulations to all of the entries for the contest this year, and special congratulations to our new best friend, Grant Cotter. We will see you in person tomorrow night. Thank you for anywhere. We're looking forward to shaking your hand and seeing you do some stand-up on the stage, sir.
Wow, thank you very much. It was such an honor.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 8.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Let's go, let's go. Let's hurry up. I got to get out of here. I got to put my down payment down on my new Tesla. See the new Tesla 3 yesterday, the new Model 3?
I did not see that, no.
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah. Looks like a nice car.
Nice car. It's the car of the future. We finally have a car that looks like the car of the future. There's no air intake in the front. It's just a smooth front and a giant window. It looks like the Jetsons. The Jetsons would drive that. Oh, so sweet.
Are you going to get the banana yellow color still?
It's not a banana. It's orange.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to slap down my grand deposit just for a measly $1,000. You can reserve your own Tesla Model 3, which they will deliver to you when it rolls off the assembly line 2 years from now. As long as you don't need a car anytime soon, you're in good shape.
2 years from now.
Well, you know, it's Tesla. You just got three guys making them. You got Elon Musk in his garage.
Right.
And his buddy Carl, I think, does the tires. And then there's the Tesla guy. Tesla, who, of course, invented the electric car, right? Wasn't Tesla the guy who invented the electric
car? That's what I heard, yes.
I remember it as if it was yesterday.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
And he's still alive and still hands-on making the cars,
yeah,
right?
Making them with Elon. They're in their garage.
That guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
It takes a couple years to put one together.
They said yesterday, Ralph, that over 100,000 people put down that grant.
Of course.
Including our friend Ashley Skata, by the way, from CNN.
Of course. They're bitching.
What's the range? This is an electric car. What's the range now on the battery these days?
They say on a charge you get with the Model 3, 250 miles.
That is great.
On a charge. And it goes.
As long as you don't want to make it all the way to Las Vegas, that's a great amount of charge.
It goes from zero to 60, I think, in under 5 seconds or something.
Wow.
It's got a lot of guts. Roomy, beautiful, and
affordable.
You don't want to go to Las Vegas. Why do you got to poop on everything that's
good?
No,
I'm just saying.
Ruin things?
Because this is my whole thing. Look, I'm a perfect candidate for an electric car because 99.999% of my driving is just around town, and it would be easy to plug it in at home or whatever. But if you want a car if your full-time only car and you do road trip sometimes, you've got to think, all right, where between now and Las Vegas, for instance, am I going to stop at 250 miles and get recharged?
I think
is a concern and a consideration, isn't it?
It has capacity for supercharging for long-distance travel.
Boom.
Charbroiled. Now what do you got to say, pooper?
I think it's great.
Yeah, pooper.
Then the range isn't 250 miles. Then the range is whatever the supercharge number
That's
is.
That's a range per charge is the 215. But there is also the capacity to
Well, you guys know a lot more about it than I do. I'm just hearing
so
the details.
Stop pooping. So stop pooping.
But I like the idea of it, and I'm excited. And one day I'll get one, too.
Nope. You're not welcome. You're no longer welcome.
Not allowed to get one?
Nope. We just closed membership. What's that? Oh, one of those doors. What's happening to those doors? Closed.
But I got my $1,000 right here.
Too bad. Stick it in your nose.
Stick it in your
nose. That's what they say. You heard me.
Really?
Up your nose with a rubber hose. That's what I'm saying.
No, because you said stick it in your nose.
I know. What's... Then I added a rubber hose.
Okay.
Just don't test me, woman.
Wow.
Right?
Don't monkey with the magic.
Don't monkey with the magic. Thank you. Hey, I'm out of time already.
No. It's a good chunk on the Tesla.
I'll tell you what we do. I'm going to give you a little something. Bill Murray on Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh. Oh, all right.
Bill Murray on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, he plays Baloo the Bear. He's the voice of Baloo the Bear in the new Jungle Book movie that's coming out. Live action adaptation, of course, of the not only the classic Disney animated film, but the original book, of course, Kevin, written by
that woman that wrote the Harry Potter movies. J.K. Rowling.
Yep, she sure wrote those Harry Potter movies.
All right, books.
Rudyard Kipling was the author of the original Jungle Book. And so he is the voice of Baloo the Bear. And so he shows up with Jimmy Kimmel along with the little kid who plays Mowgli next to him, Neil Sethi, I believe his name is. And together they sing the Bear Necessities from the Jungle Book.
Oh,
how adorable is that?
Adorable.
Here's a little something you can take with you.
For the bear necessities, the simple bear necessities.
Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bear necessities, Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bear necessities of life. Wherever I wander.
How great!
I heard that someone in this room cried watching the trailer.
Yeah, have you seen the trailer for this movie?
I've not, no.
Oh.
It made you cry?
Oh, yeah. The trailer, a commercial on television. I'm watching television, and it comes on, and Mowgli is there with his wolf mother. He's the wolf cub. And he's holding her face close to his, and she says, no matter what they call you, no matter what they do to you, you will always be my son.
Hold, please, Ralph. Did you cry, Allie?
I did, but the fact that Ralph did, too, I felt closer to him.
Oh, no. See, you just ruined everything. Now, I had a nice moment. See, this is why I rarely have feelings, because this kind of crap happens afterwards.
Cry, baby.
Right? Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday, Susan Boyle's 54, David Oyelowo is 40 years old, and Taryn Killam celebrates 34 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Edgar Mancia from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are going to be going to see the Lumineers at the Hollywood Bowl in October, and you'll be here at K-Rock on Monday when they come into play at the Red Bull Soundspace. We've got another chance for you to win coming up before the end of the show. One of my favorite band names of all time is We Were Promised Jetpacks, and the reason that became a band name is because We Were Promised Jetpacks. From long before I was born, we saw in science fiction that people were going to be flying all over the skies on jetpacks. We just strap them on and we'd go where we want to go. No more traffic. Right, Kevin? You with me?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And we thought in the 1960s they were right around the corner, and in the 70s and in the 80s and the 90s, and certainly by 2000 we'd have jetpacks. And here we are, 2016. We still don't have the goddamn jetpacks. Well, that's what this virtual reality thing is turning into, because we've been hearing forever that virtual reality, we're going to be able to put something on our face and wake up in a new world, and it would be just like living our fantasies. We heard that was coming, and I didn't believe it.
Check it out. Oh, man, this is great. When is it available?
Well, you know, one day.
Sometime.
Then I saw this article on CNET.com, and these words struck me. Virtual reality begins here. Oculus Rift, welcome to the future. Now, that to me makes it sound like we have finally reached the future. Scott Stein is the man who wrote those words. He is a senior editor at CNET, and he joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Mr. Stein, how are you, sir?
Hey, great. How are you doing?
This isn't another jetpack, right? This isn't a bait and switch. This isn't one day in the future we'll all be doing it. It's here, right?
It is here, and I've been using it, and it is very, very futuristic. But it definitely has a lot of stuff you got to hook up.
All right, now let's talk about this stuff. How expensive is it?
So it is – that's a flexible question. Oculus Rift – you know, Oculus Rift costs, in quotes, $600. But what you get with that is a headset, an Xbox One game controller, because it just uses a regular controller right now,
right,
and a little camera one. You still have to buy a PC. And it's got to be a certain high-powered PC. That thing's going to cost you, you know, $2,000 maybe, or $1,500.
Okay, so we're at $2,500 now. Go ahead.
You might be at that point, or they, you know, claim maybe get a package, or get in as low as 15, and then you don't even have yet. Oculus has these really amazing motion controllers. These are the things that are going to let you feel like you're reaching out and grabbing stuff. Those aren't coming out till later in the year. We don't even know the price yet. So add those on. Add those on, because you're going to want them.
All right, now Scott, does it work? Oh, I'm sorry. There's more.
I feel like there's more to buy.
Okay, all right, go on.
Is there?
That's it. Well, plus the games. Then you want to get some of the games.
Okay, now that was going to be my question is, because I know very little about virtual reality, Scott. Is it like with a video game console where you go out and you pick which experience you want? So you can have the I'm surfing in Hawaii if you want, or you can have the I'm the Queen of England if you want.
I think we know who would want that, Kevin.
Jeez. I'm going to take your virtual reality away from you, Bean, if you want to be the queen.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there as an example of the timing. Don't you see a day, Scott, where there will be thousands of options and you can live whatever life you want to live? If you want to climb Mount Everest, you can do that. If you want to throw the winning pass in the Super Bowl, you can do that too, right?
Yeah, there's already a climbing game. There's one that actually puts you in a simulation of being on Mount Everest. There's one that's little sports mini games, and I'm sure there's going to be something that feels like Madden. And there are a lot of, not just these things that feel like games, but a lot of people are shooting videos in 360 degrees and 3D, and these videos with special camera rigs, you can play those back. And right now you're just looking around and watching these experiences, but people are working on ways of making those interactive so that you could actually start feeling like you're somewhere real, not just something in a game.
And all of this stuff is available today.
This stuff is available now. Not every one of those experiences, but it's been available now. And in the past year, you've had ones that work with phones, which are already pretty good. But this stuff, the stuff that you connect to your PC, Oculus Rift, HTC Vive is coming out next week. These allow you to walk around. The Vive, you can walk around like it's a holodeck. So you set up an area of your room if you have some room you want to set up as a VR room, and you can walk every step.
Now I have to build a room for my VR.
Well, first you have to buy a new house, Kevin, and then you
got
to build a room.
Who has an extra room that they just go, you know what, maybe that's my VR room?
You do not want to have this with people inside. You know, you want to have a space where you're not going to hit someone, you're not going to smack them, you're not going to run into because you're wearing this thing on your face and you're walking around. But it's amazing. There's weird games in there, stuff where you're putting together things that don't exist. You're reaching for stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of people getting into adult entertainment and that stuff, too. So that's not available on the store. You have to find a way to go online and load that in.
Sure. If you will.
Which being well.
Right. That's a euphemism, I'm sure. Scott, there was a line in your piece on CNET, and it said this. The exciting and frustrating thing about the Oculus Rift, it's easy to see how much better it can get. And that's really, that's the promise. Just like when we see these early examples of artificial intelligence robots, like with any technology, you see what we can do today. And can you even imagine where we'll be in 100 years with this?
Well, one of the things people talk about, if you want to go to the sci-fi thought, is you see this in movies, it's like telepresence or like an avatar, you're beaming into another body. It's not entirely impossible if you think that if it's a robot, we already have things like that where you could suddenly look through the robot's eyes and now you're going through an office on this little scooter with an iPad. But what if you could do that where you felt like you were wearing a headset and now you were helping look through someone else's eyes or doing something somewhere else, exploring somewhere else? So that would be amazing. And also, right now, this stuff, all that equipment, the PC, nobody wants that, including the VR manufacturers. They want it so you can wear it like a pair of glasses connected to a phone, you know, really small and light. And it's going to start getting lighter and cheaper and better in the next few years. So this stuff you're buying now is just an early adopter, you know, collector's item ticket in a lot of ways.
So let's say this Christmas. I mean, is it going to come down in price to a point where people could actually afford it?
Well, I think for the PC stuff, it could. The other one that's coming out that I think will be a lot more affordable is PlayStation VR. That's going to connect with the PlayStation 4. That only costs $400, and it uses some of the old controllers. So it's still not cheap, but it's a lot cheaper than getting the rest, and it looks amazing, too. I mean, just about as good, and you don't need to set up your crazy gaming PC.
That's great. All right, we're almost out of time here. Scott Stein on the phone, by the way, senior editor, CNET, talking about virtual reality. Is this going to be one of those products like the Google Glasses were at first? And what a success that was, by the way, where it's backlogged and it's almost impossible to buy because there just aren't enough of them. Or is this something that's going to be rolled out in such numbers that that won't be a problem?
Well, I think you'll be able to get these. And they've been waiting so long and building up numbers. Google Glass was so expensive, and it wasn't even meant as a real – it was funny. It was never meant as a real release for people. It was always sold as like a special – Explorer edition, like, whereas this is meant to be mass released. But I think that people are still going to have a hard time getting it. There's a lot of them that are on pre-order. And so, you may have to wait. And I'm also curious how much people are going to want to spend time inside VR. You're going to want to take breaks. You're not going to want to.
I'm going to want to live there full time.
Okay, then that's good.
It's perfect for me. It sounds way better than my real life. I got to be honest. All right, Scott. Well, this is very exciting. I mean, you've given us a lot to think about, and like we said, I guess it just takes off from here. So this is not going to be a Jetpacks thing. This is really actually happening.
This is really happening, and it's also happening in so many places: Hollywood, video games. And they're all working together to make this stuff. So it's sports. So it's going to be happening more and more over the next years.
Oh, wait, I get it. April Fool's.
Yeah. No, it's not an April Fool's. It's for real.
I get it.
Scott Stein has been our guest. CNET.com. And you can follow Scott on Twitter @JetScott. Thanks for the time, sir.
Hey, thanks.
Kevin Amin's April Foolishness is tomorrow night at The Shrine. It's going to be a great night of comedy with all the proceeds going to some great local charities. And we have one pair of tickets left up close in the That's My John section that you can win just after 9 o'clock this morning. We'll tell you how coming up in just a few minutes. But first, Ally McKay, this is perfect for you.
I'm into it.
The Los Feliz Murder House. Do you think there's hiking in the neighborhood? Do you think there's a possibility you can?
Well, it's in Los Feliz, so there's hiking around. Uh-huh. But that house just screams murder.
It does scream murder. In fact, it's infamous for the murders that were committed therein. 2475 Glendower Place in Los Feliz. It is on the market for $2.75 million. Now, it looks like a great house, by the way. It's beautiful from the outside. Spanish Revival mansion built in 1925. Has four bedrooms, three bathrooms, big kitchen, large dining room, a library, a study, a ballroom, complete with a bar.
I feel like you're burying the lead here.
Oh, yeah, and a bunch of people got murdered in it. But look, let's not dwell on the past, Kevin.
He's giving us the square footage of the freaking kitchen.
Let's not dwell
on the past.
It's an
open concept in the kitchen. It's delightful.
Why are you the guy who always has to point out the negatives here?
I'm saying this particular house, that's the reason it's in the news.
It's called the Murder House.
It
is the Los Feliz Murder House. So what happened was a family that lived there, Dr. Harold Perelson and his family, and one night he woke up in 1959 and technically he bludgeoned his wife to death with a hammer and then he took pills to commit suicide before the police got there. So, okay, so maybe the parents died in the house.
But did they have a nice walk-in closet?
He also tried to kill the daughter, but
she got away.
Kind of missed her head, so she ran and got help. And then the other two kids, he said, "You're having a nightmare. Go back to sleep."
Oh, dear Lord. So a neighbor comes over and
did all
at that
three
point,
of them have their own room?
Yes, they did. Nice. As a matter of fact, they did. There are four bedrooms and three bathrooms, Kevin.
Oh, nice. Wood floors, wood floors.
There are a lot of people who would look at this, and I think this is it. I think this is interesting. There are a lot of people who would look at this house and go, I don't care how great the location is. I don't care how well priced it is or how many amenities there are or for the schools in the neighborhood are great. I can't live in a house where there's been a murder-suicide. I'm out. But I think there are a lot more people who would go, it's not the house's fault. You know what I mean? The house is just standing there. It hasn't been lived in for 50 years. I'm going to buy it because it looks like a good deal. Where do you guys come down on this? Would it bother you? Would you eliminate a house that otherwise you would live in just because a tiny incident happened that may have marred its history?
Well, that sounds a little more like a bigger incident. I think I would probably avoid that.
Really?
But having said that, like, I don't know why.
Huh.
Because I agree with Bean. It's not like the house, as far as I know, did the killing.
Yeah, the house. I mean, this was the doctor and a hammer who did the killing.
Plus,
it
sounds like a pretty sweet house, according to Bean's description.
Yeah.
Right. So. All right. So you would say you would be uncomfortable. If you could find a comparable house elsewhere where there hadn't been a murder-suicide, you would prefer that.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you put it like that.
I mean, I think I would prefer non-death in my house.
Well, somebody died where I live.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
It hasn't affected you at all.
In the house where you live now?
Yes.
There was a death.
Yeah, and Allie talks about dying every day, by the way.
True.
See what it's done to her?
She wasn't murdered. She just died there. And I feel like she died happy, and it was her home, and she loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see her. and I feel her. Like, she's there.
All right. This is awesome. Not ghost story talk, Allie. That's not what we're doing here. Did they have to disclose that to you before you moved in?
No, because it was years and years and years ago, so other people have lived there since.
Well, this seems like a burn then, because this is built in 1925. So how is it known as the murder house?
Yeah, right. You have one. You kill one lady, and all of a sudden your house forever is known as the murder house.
And I don't. I think maybe there's different situations. If someone was bludgeoned to death, that's a little different than passing away in your sleep.
Yeah, you're right. They probably don't even have to mention if just a regular person died of natural causes.
Yeah. I wonder if there's even another group of people, and those are the people that this appeals
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. I'd be into this house.
It's not just if you see it and you find out the history, maybe you change your mind or not. This is, would you pick it because of this?
Yeah. I bet you're right.
And
I bet there are people.
Bean.
I got no problem with it. It sounds like a deal to me. What kind of calls are we looking for? We want to open up the phones on this at 1-800-520-1067. Are we looking for those people who love it, those people who would never live there? What do we want?
How about both? If you would love
Why not
it,
both, Bean? It's America.
It's America. So let's have both.
All right. Your feelings on murder houses, and I'd also like to know, 1-800-520-1067, I'd also like to know if we have any listeners out there who live in a house where a bad thing happened and what that's like for you. That would be – oh, look at this. Look at Alyssa. Look at Alyssa calling on Lomita, our first caller through here.
Alyssa?
Hi.
Whoa.
What's going on?
So we moved into a house like 2 months ago that the previous owner had committed suicide in.
And how'd you know that?
Holy moly.
Wow.
Did they tell you?
Yeah, they have to. They have to disclose it if you're like on the market. I mean, okay. But we needed a place to live, so we were like, who cares?
It's that kind of in-depth thinking that I enjoy.
It didn't give you any kind of pause to think you're not a person who believes in, you know, bad vibrations or bad karma or a disturbance in the force. You didn't feel like there was going to be any kind of carryover from the previous tenant.
I mean, we had new counters and new paint, so we were just like, sure, it's fine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you ever think about that as you're going through your day in your house? Do you ever go, hey, what?
Yes. I mean, you know, if like something weird happens in the house, we named the ghost Hank because we weren't sure. We don't know like the backstory, but if something goes wrong, we just were like, oh, that's just Hank like being, you know, dead.
Just being Hank being dead.
That's just all dead.
That's just Hank being all dead.
How did Hank do it, if you know, Alyssa?
We think it was the oven because when we bought the house didn't have like a stove.
Oh, I see. So at least you're not using Hank's oven.
That's just Hank cooking all dead and stuff.
That's right. Just cooking all dead. All right, Alyssa, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. If you've had one of these events happen in the place where you live or used to live, we want to hear from you. If this appeals to you and you'd like a house like that, we want to know why. Or if you're terrified, what's the reason? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. I'm looking at these pictures of the murder house in Los Feliz, and it looks like it's got a lot of light in the kitchen, Kevin. Are you sure you don't want to reconsider?
Yeah,
I mean, I know the doctor killed his wife with a hammer and then committed suicide, but it still looks like a pretty sweet place.
I feel like I wouldn't rule it out. You know.
Okay. It's under $3 million in Los
Feliz.
What
kind of fridge, Bean? What kind of fridge does it have?
It doesn't say here, but it's from 1925, so it may not be much of a fridge. Hey, Kevin and Bean, some states do require the sellers to disclose if someone has died in a house that you were buying within the last X many years. In California, I think it's about 3 years. I believe they also have to tell you the manner of death. Unless it involves a case of someone who had AIDS. Why would they make that exception, Natalie? Uh-huh. I only learned this 2 years ago when I bought my house and the old man who had been living there had died in the house. I am not sure if I would have bought it if the cause of death was more violent versus old age. So she's a person who would probably not be buying anything referred to as a murder house in the news, sounds like. Actually, I think Elizabeth is also in that stripe as well. She's online too. She's in Sherman Oaks and she's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, guys.
You bought a murder house?
We did not buy a murder house. We were looking at a murder house, and halfway through our tour, the real estate agent says to us, you know, I'm legally obligated to tell you this house is for sale because the owner was recently murdered in the driveway.
Oh, my God.
So it's the driveway.
It wasn't even in the house.
Come on.
But there were definitely
There were definitely mystery stains in the driveway, so that was a hard no for us.
But Elizabeth, help me understand this, because I know that there are a lot of people like you, maybe even more like you than like me, but help me understand why you were afraid of this house, just because something that happened before you even got there that will really have no effect whatsoever on the property.
Well, it had only been about 6 months beforehand, and they never solved what happened. They never found the murderer, so it was a little bit too creepy for us. We were like, you know, is this something about the house? Is there something going on here? It was just like, there's a lot of houses for sale. This is not the one for us.
Okay, so that at least makes sense, because there's some mystery involved into why he died, and you were afraid that there might be a killer living next door, and you just didn't want to be a victim. Okay,
totally.
That makes sense. All right, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Where do you want to go, Ken? We got a lot of good calls here.
Let's go to Brenda in East Whittier. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We purchased our home about 2 years ago, and we bought it 2 months after the original owner died in the home.
2 months?
He died in August, and we bought it in October. And the house had been on the market like one day when we walked in and we looked at a house, and our agent had to disclose.
Were you upset that you couldn't buy it in September?
Well, it wasn't on the market then. Ah. The wife and husband died of lung cancer. The other one died of old age, but they died in our master bedroom separately at separate points in time. And she had to disclose that to us. And, you know, most people, she said, are weirded out by that, but I have to disclose that. We were okay. We put in the offer.
You were fine.
Nice.
We were fine. We were fine with it.
I would bet that if it doesn't bother you, you probably have a better shot at getting it, because it does wig some people out and they walk away from it just because of that.
Well, yeah, but the caveat was that the sellers, the children of the couple, had to meet the new family, which was kind of odd for us.
But
they met us
weird.
They met us in a home inspection. And they started telling us the story. The grandchildren are there. I mean, the whole family was there during our home inspection. And they shared the story of the home. They were the original owners. They were two daughters. We're a couple with two daughters, too. Very odd.
Brenda, they're going to murder you.
Yeah,
I got news for you.
Yeah. There's no dying of old age in this story.
And it's weird because the guy was 35, too. That was the weirdest part.
All right, well, this may be one of the last phone calls you ever make, Nicole, so I'm glad you chose to make it with us. Thank you very much. Let's go to Rich in Burbank.
I'm going to miss Brenda.
She was great.
I'm really going to miss her.
Rest in peace, Brenda.
All right, where are we going? Let's go to Rich. Line 7, please. He's in Burbank. Rich has got one of those murder houses that we like so much. Welcome to the show, sir. What's going on?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. So it's not so much a murder as it is a suicide place.
All right.
Story is, I've been there for about a year, and I kept getting the guy's mail who lived there before me. So one day I decided to Google his name, and of course the obituaries pop up, and I see that this guy died about 6 months before I moved in. So now my mind is kind of racing, oh, how did this guy die? You know, was it old age or whatever? And I look, and he's like 45, so he's kind of young. I start talking to one of my neighbors, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's the apartment where the guy hung himself in the shower.
What? And they didn't tell you that?
They didn't tell me. I actually looked into it because I was thinking about using that as leverage to lower the rent. But I think the law in California is you have to ask. If you don't ask, they don't have to tell you.
Is that true?
Oh, now that's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you think about this guy every morning when you're in that shower where he died?
And if so,
well, I shower at night, so every night. Yeah.
Here's what I love. Rich's first thought is maybe I can get my rent lowered.
Well done, Rich.
I'm not proud, but yeah.
Great call, sir. Thank you very much. Let's talk to Marco. He's a landlord, if I'm reading this correctly. Line 5, please. He's in Los Angeles. Marco, you are up next on the Kevin Amin Show. Let's talk murder house.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
So, you're a landlord.
We thought you were calling us to talk.
Sorry.
Did we get that wrong?
Yeah, you guys got it right. Sorry, man.
Okay.
So about 2 years ago, a tenant in one of our units passed away, and
Let me just qualify. Was it murder, or was it just passed away?
No, it was natural causes.
Okay.
But what happened is he had no family here, so nobody knew about it. So he was in his unit for about 2 weeks. Until one of the neighbors noticed that there was a funny smell coming out of the apartment.
Aww.
And we went, and it turned out the guy was dead. And as I was there, I looked at the kitchen and I was like, "Whoa, this unit is pretty nice, and the view was pretty sweet."
What?
The view was sweet. Like
you
the,
were
the...
scoping his apartment as he's laying there dead.
No. I mean, he wasn't there. We knew that. You know, they were taking him out and everything.
Oh, okay. But,
okay, so he's on a stretcher, and you were checking out the view.
Right.
Hey, life's for the living, Kevin. You got to move on. What a great view this has.
By the way, this exact same thing just happened on Brooklyn Nine-Nine a couple of weeks ago, where a couple of the cops went to an old lady who died, and they realized how awesome her apartment was, and they both applied to live in that apartment before they left the building after the investigation. When real estate is hot, man, you got to go for it.
No, and we renovated the place. We put everything brand new, and I'm living there. I've been living there for about a year and a half. Pretty great.
All right. Thank you, Marco. Let's get I know we're running late, but let's get one more call in. This is Nicole, and this is a person who would really go out of her way to buy a murder house.
Excellent.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
So living in a murder house, that's thumbs up from you.
Yeah. Actually, the apartment I live in, somebody died in it. We were actually looking at two units in our apartments, and the leasing agent said, oh, okay, well, I have to let you know one of these somebody has passed away in, and my husband's like, is that okay? I'm like, yes, definitely.
Couldn't have answered yes faster.
Wait, but you had the option of another apartment as well?
But she preferred dead apartment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what do you think? I mean, articulate that for me. What's the draw for you?
I don't know. I just think death is interesting, and I don't know. I've always been drawn to it ever since I was young, like, I don't know. Me and my friends go to houses that we've heard that people have died in. If they're abandoned, we try to get inside, do exploration.
Nicole, put your husband on the phone.
He hasn't been seen in 3 months, Kevin. What are you talking about?
Make sure he's still able to speak.
Nicole, I'm just sad that we're both married. It sounds like we would have been perfect together. Thanks for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 9.
We got your final pair of tickets in the That's My Jawn section. That's my Jawn section. Right, Ralph? Did I get it that time?
I'm so looking forward to this event being over so I don't have to hear Bean murder my native tongue any longer.
I feel like he nailed it.
Thank you, Kevin. I know you do.
This is the up-close section at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine tomorrow night. We're also going to throw in tickets to the VIP reception with the cast. That's us, by the way. I wish it were more exciting. Limited edition, That's My John t-shirt, and VIP parking. Ralph, how are we giving the tickets away this morning? What are we looking for at 1-800-520-1067?
Well, here's the thing. There are many kinds of jokes in the world. You've got your Polish jokes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your...
dead baby jokes.
Those. You've got your knock-knock jokes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've got your chicken cross the road jokes.
Your mama
jokes. But maybe the biggest subclass of jokes, the biggest, the iconic one is the blonde joke, right?
Oh,
sure.
Blonde joke, yeah.
And luckily for us, we happen to have our own more or less blonde on the Kevin and Bean Show.
More today.
She was a couple days ago.
Certainly lives up to the reputation as well.
We're talking about you, Allie.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Allie is our blonde.
Got it.
So we thought, how fun would it be to have listeners call in with their favorite blonde jokes?
Okay.
And then Allie can play judge, jury, and executioner, and she can judge which one.
I get
one
to
of the...
murder people?
Yeah, you get to kill someone.
Sweet. I don't think that's what he means. I think you have to pick who the winner is.
Her favorite blonde joke. We'll get tickets to the That's My John section of the
I
of the
love
show.
It. All right, so call now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Thank you, Doe. And we'll take your calls next, coming up right after 9 o'clock. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's happening?
Well, it's a new release day, you know, new music release day on Fridays.
Sure.
Right, Bean?
Yeah.
Are you used to it yet, Bean? Seriously. You have to be by now.
For those who aren't familiar, Bean was very upset when new release day was shifted from Tuesday to Friday.
Months ago, right?
It's a nightmare.
A long time ago.
Last July. Yeah.
So we're coming
up
on a year.
It's a colossal disaster.
It's not a nightmare
anymore. It was a slight shift in scheduling. That's all it was. And Bean spun out and bitched about it and complained, and he's still not yet adjusted.
I'm still butthurt every Friday. I hate it. It really has sapped the joy out of what used to be my favorite day of the week, which was Tuesday.
You're dumb.
I'm not dumb. I am a guy who lives in regularity. I'm a guy with a system. I'm a guy who likes to do things at the same time,
right,
in the same place. And I had a schedule where I would go to IHOP because that's
this
Tuesday.
This was almost a year ago.
Go off and do my record shopping.
But
and
you go
now
to IHOP
what?
On Fridays then.
No, you can't. Go on, Ralph.
What's available today, Ralph, for the rest
These
of
the These are the new albums out available today. Weezer. New Weezer.
All right.
You like the Weezer?
I like the Weezer.
I love the Weezer. I got to go back to my gas station, see if my guy's, the guy's still there.
Weezer's new album, known as The White Album, is available today. Lucas Graham just had Lucas in with his Lukettes. They were all here. What else we got? Cheap Trick has a new album, believe it or not, called Zang Boom Crazy Hello.
I'm excited about that one as well.
Are they sold on that title? Is that the final?
That's a placeholder.
Yeah. The Heavy, new album, Hurt and the Merciless, Blackstone Cherry, Kentucky. Baby Metal with Metal Resistance, Charles Bradley with Changes, Explosions in the Sky, The Wilderness. Mike and the Melvins, Three Men and a Baby. That's made up. That's not a thing,
That's real. That's actually
that's not
real.
A thing. Anyway, those are some of your new music choices today, so you can check that out. And speaking of music, Rolling Stone magazine has released their list in their opinion of the top 100 drummers of all time. Top 100 drummers. The greatest 100 drummers of all time. Interesting list. Here's your top 10.
Dick Poop.
No, he did not make it. Stuart Copeland of The Police, however, is number 10.
Flavor Flav!
Al Jackson Jr. of Booker T and the MGs was 9th.
These nuts.
Mitch Mitchell from Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Charlie Manson.
Gene Krupa at number 7.
The Riddler.
Clyde Stubblefield. And John Jabbo Starks, 6th on the list.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Hal Blaine, 5th.
Dr. Drew Pitsky.
From the Wrecking Crew, of course. Neil Peart from Rush is 4th.
Turd Ferguson.
Ginger Baker, number 3 from Cream. Peter Murgatroyd. Keith Moon, legendary drummer, of course, for The Who. My
Farrah Abramson,
favorite, I think. And John Bonzo Bonham. From Led Zeppelin at number 1 in
the Notorious Connor McGregor.
You may wonder where some of your favorites are. Here's some guys who weren't in the top 10, just fell out, but are worth mentioning. Chad Smith, Red Hot Chili Peppers, number 64 on the list.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Tommy
Where's
Lee?
Will Ferrell, by the way?
Tommy Lee, 85.
That's insulting.
Yeah, dude. Number 43 was Phil Collins. Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones, number 12. Ringo was 14. Larry Mullen Jr., by the way, of U2, number 96. You know what? Don't even put me on the list if you're going to put me in 96. That's how I would feel. I don't even want to see my name down there. There's only 4 people worse than me in the top 100 drummers, is that what you're saying? And our buddy Dave Grohl, by the way, came in at a modest number 27, but he's still in the top 30.
Travis Barker.
I don't know. Look, I don't have
Travis
the whole list
what
here.
What about Travis Barker?
I'm sure he's on the list, Bean, but I don't have every.
That was Kevin, first of all.
I'm sorry.
What about
it was a ridiculous question, so I just automatically assumed.
What about clearly the greatest oversight in the list that she's not in the top 10, but the great Meg White? What about her as a drummer?
No.
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 Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Susan Boyle, of course, winner of Britain's Got Talent, 54 years old today. David Oyelowo. David is 40 years old today. And SNL's Taron Killam celebrates 34 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, this weekend is Kevin Bean's April Foolishness. We are back this year at the Shrine, raising lots of money for charity with a fantastic lineup. If you are lucky enough to already have tickets to the show, you can go to Carrick.com and see the set times. Those have been posted. If you still want to get tickets for the show, there may still be some production holds that were released earlier in the week and a couple of the cheap seats left. You can go to AXS.com. And congratulations once again to Mr. Grant Cotter, Orange County's own. He has been selected by you as the opening act for the show. So he'll be the first thing on stage tomorrow night. You ready to give away our final pair of tickets in the That's My John section?
Yes, sir.
1-800-520-1067. Looking for your favorite blonde joke. Hit it, Steve.
Allie is so blonde.
Wind takes two April Fools'.
Allie
is so blonde, 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 blonde.
This is the blonde,
blonde,
leading the blonde.
Don't
tell us your joke about
blonde, blonde, blondes.
Ow! Cisco forever!
All right, it's the blonde leading the blonde, 1-800-520-1067. Let's just take them in order, Allie, and then you, if the jokes you understand, you decide which ones go, you know, into the finals, okay. who you would like to see win and be at the competition.
All right, let's start with Alex in Valencia. Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Give us your blonde joke, please.
What's the easiest way to kill a blonde?
How?
Put a scratch and sniff sticker at the bottom of a pool.
See, because blondes aren't very bright, Allie. You don't get it. You don't get it. All right. Hang on, Alex.
Hold, please. Adam and Encino. Hi there.
I'm a good
hey,
swimmer.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Did you say you're a good swimmer?
Yeah, okay. So I don't get that.
Blonde jokes. Go ahead.
Two blondes walk into a bar. The brunette ducks.
Oh, because she hit the bar.
Very good.
Yay! I win.
Tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
All right, that was Adam. Let's see who's next.
Karina in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
All right, what do you give the blonde who has everything?
What?
Penicillin.
Karina, how do you hear that?
Right?
No, she's not talking about you.
It's like she's in your medicine cabinet. That's crazy. All right, Karina, well done. Thank you. Who's up next?
Next is Stephen in Palmdale. Hi there.
What up, guys?
Blonde jokes. What you got?
All right. Why did Allie's blonde sister get thrown out of the M&M factory?
Why?
Because she threw out all the W's.
Well, they should if it's the M&M factory.
You're missing the point, Allie. They're
tell us your joke about blonde, 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 blondes.
All right, you all were right.
I like that Stephen said my blonde sister.
Yeah, that was funny.
Right.
That was nice.
He didn't want to insult you.
That was lovely.
Curtis in Riverside. Hi.
Hi. How does a blonde drive through flashing red lights?
How? Oh, because she's stopping.
See?
Okay.
Very, it's a flashing
very
red
good.
Light.
Okay.
So when it stops, and then he... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good joke and good delivery, Curtis. Well
good.
Done, sir.
All right. Let's go to Robert in El Segundo. Hi.
Hello.
Looking for your blonde joke, please.
Okay. Why do blondes have trouble dialing 911?
Why?
They have trouble finding the 11.
See, because, right? Because of 1-1. All right, thank you. Final call?
All right, final call is Sasha in Glendora.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Okay, what does a blonde and a beer bottle have in common?
What?
They're both empty from the neck up.
Sasha, that's hurtful. That one hurt.
All right.
Definitely.
Sasha, hang on. Sasha was the beer bottle. Robert was dialing 911. Flashing red light was our man, Curtis. We had the M&M factory was Steven. We had the blonde who has everything with the penicillin was Karina. Adam had the blondes walking into the bar. And how do you kill a blonde? Not fast enough. Alex was on line one. Who do you like best of those, Allie McKay? Who's our winner?
You know, I liked a couple of them. So I've decided to do a drawing.
All right.
Just to keep it fair.
Like a blonde to make it more complicated than it needs to be?
The answer is... The answer...
The answer is...
Curtis!
Curtis!
Yeah! Curtis!
Hey.
Curtis with the flashing red light. Congratulations.
Right. We will see you in the That's My John section tomorrow night at the Shrine, including the VIP reception. Please come up and say hello to all of us, would you? The That's My John Show t-shirt and VIP parking. Thanks for playing whatever this game's called.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it, like a real fan.
Oh, I can walk. It's a good.
That was a moment with Bean.
I mean,
usually you can see what the person's at least going for.
Good point.
Wow.
Do it again.
That's pretty serious.
Well, I don't know that we need to play it again.
A moment with Bean.
Well, you could have flown down for it, like a real fan.
Oh, I can walk. It's a good.
That was a moment with Bean.
Wow.
He's just full
of fame.
Full blown.
He's just
that
full
was
blown.
Great.
You know what would be fun to do, Ralph? And I don't know if we have time on Monday, but we need to catch Kevin. Because Kevin's been gone for 6 months. A lot of people don't realize he was used to be on the show, but now he's back. And he missed all of the Loveline auditions, all of the kids who were trying out for that job to replace Mike Catherwood.
Yeah.
He hasn't heard any of those. We should do that. We should play those for him on Monday.
We should.
I hope I'm one of them.
You did put in some
Curiously,
work.
You did actually apply for the job.
I did.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I think more people here at K-Rock need to audition.
I agree.
Rodney needs to audition.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot. Beer Mug already auditioned. You missed that one.
All right. Maybe Dave. Maybe the King Dave would be a good one, too. Yeah. A lot of good choices. All right. Ralph.
Maybe Kat Corbin could go with Loveline. Hi, it's Kat. You're listening to Loveline with me and Dr. Drew. First, doctor, could you look at this thing in my throat? It's made me talk like this.
I hope her mom calls in, too, by the way.
I don't know what's wrong with her voice. It's always been like that.
Stop it, Mom. You're embarrassing me.
Anyway.
These are jokes, folks. I don't dance. What's going on?
It's time for our first look or last look or one of our looks at the showbiz feed here on K-Rock.
Well, what's going on?
You in a hurry, Spanky?
Nope.
Looks like we may have a new cast member to the Blade Runner sequel. Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling are already starring. Looks like Robin Wright may be joining the cast. The movie takes place some years after the original movie, which was set in Los Angeles, and it's hard to believe. Blade Runner, one of the most futuristic films in science fiction, perhaps the most dysfunctional portrait of what society will be like in the future. Blade Runner was set in the year 2019.
Really?
Well, that's almost here.
Valid point, Bean.
I think that may have been the gist of what I was saying.
That they were so close to living in that year that they thought would be so different than it is.
This film will also take a look at the replicants, genetically engineered pseudo-humans who look just like real human beings, and then they're used to work on colonies in space. So no word whether Robin will play a human or a replicant or what her role will be. But she'll be terrific, whatever she does, because she's a great actress.
She sure is, man. House of Cards, she blows me away every episode. She's so great.
Comedy Central has announced yesterday it's picked up not one, but two new shows from comedian Kevin Hart. Sold them two ideas. The first one's kind of cool. It's kind of like what we did with our April Foolishness opening act contest. Kevin will introduce one up-and-coming comedian in each episode of a series called Kevin Hart Presents Heart of the City. He will travel to various cities with thriving local comedy scenes, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Houston, Birmingham, Alabama, Sacramento, California, and he will feature a comedian from that area on that show, that episode. Pretty cool idea. Way to expose some people to some new comics. And apparently the network is also working on a comedy competition show with Jeff Ross called The Roast Battle.
It's pretty close to Yo Mama.
Where comics will go head-to-head in a roast battle. So that could happen as well.
The good thing about that is it could be terrible, and being terrible is funny.
Sometimes, yeah. You remember Brandy?
Sure.
She's a fine girl.
Wow.
Yeah!
No.
Kevin, you have no idea. If you had known what had been going on, you never would have come back. You never would have. You were on the freaking lifeboat, and you said, I'm just gonna crawl back on the Titanic. Let me back on, because I think I may have left my pocket watch in my trunk. And now you're back on the boat.
I didn't realize how much you depend on Kevin as a buffer, as some sort of insulation between Allie and me.
You didn't realize that?
Apparently,
are
Kevin
you serious?
Apparently, Kevin is needed for Ralph's well-being on this job.
Essential. I got Bean, I got She Bean, and then last week I'm in the other room with Omar working on some production piece, and he says to me, I got to put a lot of mulch this weekend. I got a lot of mulching to do. I was like, who cares? What's going on? Anyway, you were missed. Brandy wants to make new music, but her record label won't let her. This is an interesting conundrum. The singer-actress has sued the Chameleon Entertainment Group here in Los Angeles as of Tuesday. Here's why. She signed with them in 2011. They're a record label. They released her 2012 album, 2-11, and the contract gives the label an option to release four more Brandy albums. So she wants to make the albums. They don't want them. But they won't let her go to another label to work.
Really?
They have no interest in her music, but they will not release her from her contract. So she is stuck. She's frozen out. She can't make any more music because she can't go to another label. The label that she's with doesn't want her.
This is kind of Kesha-like a little bit.
No.
Not at all.
Sony said to Kesha,
We'll put it out.
You can work with another producer under our umbrella, and we will absolutely release your music. You can create all the music you want here. They're telling Brandy, no thanks. Don't even bother. We're not interested. And you can't go anywhere else.
That's insane. Disgusting.
So she is suing them, trying to get out of her contract with Camila to make it null and void. We'll wait and see. We'll follow that story closely because Brandy, as being mentioned, is a fine girl.
Yay!
I don't even get it.
That's a take
it's
back.
It's a really old song.
Yes, by Looking Glass.
Brandy,
there's a
you're
band
a fine
called
girl,
Looking Glass.
What a good wife you would be.
You would
but
be.
My life, my love, and my lady is the sea.
Yeah, let's not.
Nope. That's a great song.
Hey, Ralph, you're on Bean's side right now. You know that.
Sorry.
You remember that song, right, though, Allie? You've heard it.
You've heard it.
Hand to God, no idea.
You've heard it.
Have you heard that song?
Yes.
Oh, you're a liar. You're a liar.
It's a very popular song.
Oh, how does he already have it? How is that possible?
It's the human jukebox.
Is it sounding familiar yet, Alan?
Hey, it's Friday, everybody. Time for a little Looking Glass. Here's their number one hit, Brandy.
There's a port on a western bay, and it's served.
Nothing? You get nothing off of this?
Ships a day,
lonely sailors.
Full of it.
Well, needless to say, that's not the same Brandy that we were talking about anyway, but the point is that there was a song by that title.
Right.
Nope.
That's a stone groove right there, Daddy-O.
How do you...
you
live in the world.
Daddy-O.
you live in the world where K-Earth exists, right, Allie? How did you not grow up hearing that song?
How do you not know that song?
I'm sorry. It sounds real catchy, especially
weak.
The way you two sang it.
Thank you. We know it, you don't. Charbroiled!
Yep, you burned
sick
me.
Burn on you.
Yeah, it was.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Taron Killam is 34 years old today. David Oyelowo. Whatever. He's 40. And Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent, 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as a beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. On Monday, we have Jensen Karp talking WrestleMania. We have Chris Hardwick talking The Walking Dead. And comedian Ray Romano joins us as well.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good morning, chuckleheads.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Roll another one.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Just like the other one.
That's not brown rice.
This one seems to be about sense.
Hold on a second. What's wrong with you?
I don't have another cent.
You're missing the whole point. This show is a joke. You are a joke.
Super tired. Good night.
Just pass it around.
Oh, please, God, can it come fast?
It's a goddamn meat market.
Just pass it on
down. My God, this is terrible. Will somebody please stop it?
Well, don't think it hasn't been interesting because it hasn't.
Leave us. Go.
No!
Hey. Party's over. Let's go. Is this your stuff? Let's go. Thanks for coming. Party's over. Bye-bye.
And wow, what a show that was.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that's quite enough of that.
Or else what? You'll spoon me to death?